here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
Well, hey, everyone. I hope you're having an amazing day wherever you are in the world. And I have a question for you. As an entrepreneur, someone thinking about being an entrepreneur, someone thinking about getting back into entrepreneurship, when I say the following word, how does it make you feel? And that word is sales. So you're either like, yay, I love selling, or ugh, I do selling because I have to. Or number three, you're like, ugh, I can't stand sales. Well, guess what? You're in business. Yes, nod your head. It means you have to know how to sell. So we are so fortunate to have the world's number one authority, not number two or number three, number one authority in trust-based selling. And check this out. He's appeared in CEO Magazine, Sky News, Forbes, Inc. Magazine, the Australian Financial Review, amongst others. He has clients in 35 countries. He is an amazing author. I have his books right here on my desk, and we're going to dive into those in just a moment. And on top of it, he's really been able to unlock the myths behind sales. So I have to tell you, you guys know I've had a lot of incredible guests, but I am super excited about this gentleman today. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just put your hands in the air and let's celebrate the fact that the amazing Ari Gelber is here. So Ari, I am so happy to have you here. You're coming live from Sydney. So it's great to have you.
Thank you, Susan. Really excited to be here as well. Appreciate the intro.
Well, thank you. I want to just jump right into the first myth, right?
Let's do it.
So one of the things that you discuss in your book, Unlock the Sales Game, which, you know, I'll give a shameless plug to you because not only have I read hundreds of books on business, but I've written books on business as well. I love how condensed this is and to the point. And one of the first myths is sales is a numbers game. And we hear that all the time. Can you talk about why is that a myth?
Sure. So we grew up, of course, in the sales world where it's all about how many contacts you make. The more calls you make, the more opportunities you get. That's the concept. The more activity you get, the more results you get. Well, we discovered in this economy now, the way the world's changed, it's not about how many contacts you make anymore. It's about how deep you go on each conversation, how good you are at trust building, not how good you are, how many contacts you make. I just spoke a few minutes ago before our call with the head of a sales of a big company. And his challenge is his whole team feels like their goal is to make as many calls as possible during the day. They don't understand they can make a lot less and just connect correctly and make that trust happen. And then their numbers will fly through the roof. So it's a real mindset shift around that myth.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And do you think, in your opinion, that people just aren't spending enough time building trust on the front end?
I think they don't know how. I think they know how to build relationships, meaning the whole rapport thing. Oh, how's it going? Nice to meet you. How are you? The whole fake rapport thing, you know, like let's be their friend first, but they don't want to become your friend kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We learn from the old sales gurus. I think real deep trust is a different skill. It's a skill you have to learn, even if you've been in sales for a long time, that requires a shift in mindset and some new languaging around that we'll talk about today.
Yeah, well, I want to jump right into that point. So what is the number one way that someone can build trust, especially with someone that they're just meeting for the first time? Because a lot of people are intimidated, right?
Totally. And the real bomb I'll drop to get going here is that you have to shift your thinking away from your own goal. Let go of the outcome, let go of the sale, and start the conversation wrapped around what their problem is. It's like a doctor-patient relationship, right? When you see a doctor, they don't try and become your friend. The first thing they say to you is, where does it hurt, right? So we have to be able to engage around their issues. And if you stay in their world as long as you can, then they're going to come back to you and say to you, how can you help me? That's what real trust is. And I tell my clients, fall out of love with your solution and fall in love with your client's problems. Because if you can connect that deep level with them, they're going to say to themselves, she just gets me. Something about her just feels right. And that feeling we have to create with people.
I love that. And that aspect of knowing your client's pain, right? Research is critical. And Harvey McKay, who's my personal mentor, right, had designed the McKay 66, which I know you're familiar with. And he's always said, never go into a sales meeting without doing your research. So do you have things that you suggest your clients do in terms of researching before they get that cherished meeting?
Well, look, it's one thing to research the client themselves in terms of their industry, what they do, but you have to at least know what are the three core problems that you solve for your market, right? And here's how you can figure it out quickly, the reverse engineer. You simply ask your current clients this question. What three problems went away when you used our solution? What problems do we help you solve? What goes away? When you understand what the issues are from their point of view in their own words, that's how you anchor your relationship with them in the process around their problems. So it's one thing to know about what business they do, but you also have to know what problems your solution solves for them, which is a bit reverse thinking because we're so used to talking about the benefits, how it works. It's amazing. Oh my God, you're going to love it. We don't think about, well, what problems did that actually solve? That's the real shift we're making here.
That's huge. And it's that the power of doing the prep, asking the questions, what three problems, and what advice would you give to someone who's newer to the market? And so Ari and I are new friends, right? So what you might not know is I'm currently studying at MIT, and one of my current classes, right, in all my spare time, right? Like anyway, one of my current classes is on pricing. And one of the challenges is developing pricing models for companies that don't yet have their first client. So what I want to ask you is, what advice would you give to someone listening who doesn't yet have a first client that they can say, what problems have I solved for you?
Okay. Well, the first step in any business you're going to create is to know who your market is. Mm-hmm. Who's your ideal client, right? That's like step number one in any business model. So I have to assume at least that someone understands sort of what market they're going after. Once you understand the general zone of what you're going after, then you want to simply research by asking these folks in your industry, you know, this is our solution. What problems can it solve for you? And try and get that from people. But really, the way to do it is to have people obviously use your solution. And then once they use it, you can say, get some feedback on what problems have been solved for you. So you're starting from that end of the spectrum. You start with research like that, feedback from people.
That's huge. And that's a big thing where someone is nervous to get the feedback, right? A lot of people are in love with their product because their product becomes their baby. So it's like, oh, no one wants to be told your baby's ugly.
So that's where I talk about the idea of being okay with the truth. Because your goal is the truth, not the sale. Your goal is to find out the truth of where you stand so you can optimize, make it better, make the connection. Because we're so in love with our own solution, we remove ourselves from the psychology of the person buying. And that's why we have two ships in the night crossing each other. We're like, why didn't this work out? It was a perfect fit for us. Why do we lose them?
Yeah. It's very much reminiscent of going on a date and you think the date was so fabulous. It's like, but I didn't get the call back. That's actually a story about my husband. So anyway, that's another story.
Right.
Let me ask you this. So in the world of sales right now, it's a very, very interesting time. And I had a sales meeting at lunchtime as we were talking about prior to, and we're talking about post-COVID. And I have a funny question for you because, you know, we moved everything to virtual, but now sales meetings are starting to happen in person. So we walk into this restaurant and one person I know, we have been friends for a few years. So I hug her. The other two people we've met virtually. And I'm like, do I go in for the handshake? Do I wave? What do I do? And so we're all awkward. And so we fist bump. And then we, the other gentleman, he was from France. So I was like, okay, we'll fake air kiss, you know, whatever. However, I want to ask your opinion, digressing just a little bit. Once someone gets a meeting, what is your advice for this sort of like, we're in COVID, we're not quite out of COVID. Like what are the new rules?
Are we talking about a virtual, like a Zoom thing, how to begin a call like that?
Talking about in person now.
Like face to face. Wow. Well, I guess we're out of lockdown yesterday. So we just came out of lockdown for the last few months. So right now it's a bit of fist bumping and a bit of list going on because everyone's kind of nervous. But obviously it depends on where you're at and how comfortable you are with everyone in terms of the closeness there, you know, and the kissing thing, you know, it's up to you on that one.
It was from a distance. It was like, mwah, sure, mwah. Sure, and we were laughing. But it's such a different time. And yes. there are a lot of, you know, I look at a lot of people who are perhaps of a certain age when they grew up with an iPad or a phone right in their hand. That was like the generation after us. And I know anyone who's watching on YouTube, they're like, you two look so young. How is that possible? But no, anyway, but that generation after us. And I find that not for everyone, but for some people, they've lost that ability to connect human to human. Yeah. And there's a notion that if I just do a really epic TikTok, I'm going to make millions of dollars. If I really figure out how to just message people on LinkedIn, something they haven't seen before, I'm going to be a success. What old fashioned sales, let's call them sales manners almost, are something that you feel should be relevant in today's culture that maybe we're not seeing as much to help build trust?
The world has changed and it's become commoditized. Mm. Everyone is selling the same thing to someone else. Everyone knows what it is already. It's hard to win the battle on having a unique product that no one knows about before. And so with that assumption in mind, you only have one thing left to cut the noise. And that is to differentiate on how you sell, to be different in how you show up. And what's interesting about this is with all this happening to these different social media channels and all that, is people are taking the old sales approach and pushing it through the new models. So that's why you have so much noise going on, like in LinkedIn, you know, it's hi, and you got all this pitching going on and my inbox. I'm like, what's going on here? So you got to be careful not to transport your old mindset into the new mediums. You have to enter the conversation in these new mediums with a trust-based approach that basically is not pitching your solution, but engaging them around being, here's the key word, being open to the idea of solving a problem in different ways. So it's about you being a problem solver, not being a pitch person. Mm. And that's how you cut the noise quickly.
I love that. Solving a problem in different ways. And I was thinking about a LinkedIn message I got, and it was, you know, just, you know, one of those typical ones. It was like, have you ever thought of starting a podcast? I'm like, I'm on almost episode 300, which puts me ahead of 90% of the people who are podcasting who haven't put a new episode out in the last 90 days. Like, you know, do your homework, right?
That's the equivalent of a cold call.
Oh, we'll get into cold calls. I want to touch back on something you said about not being afraid to hear the truth.
Yes.
And before anyone becomes a guest on the show, we do our homework. And I read the story of you, you're on a call and you think that, you know, they think you've hung up, but you're still listening to them. And could you share that story and how you felt in that moment?
Sure. So that was the story that kicked this whole revolution off 20 years ago when I was a sales manager of a software company. And we was managing 18 people underneath at the time. And we launched the first online web tools to track website behavior. Now it's called Google Analytics. But back then, it actually cost money. And leads came across my desk with big opportunities. One call came in, I got the call, and a great opportunity, big company. The guy agrees to a conference call and a live demo to see our product. Dave Hunley came Friday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm in the conference room with my team. They're in the background listening in, speaker phone middle of the table. I dial their phone number. My guy says, hello. He's like, hey, Ari, how's it going? Great. And he says to me, Ari, let us tell you who's on the phone with us today. I was like, oh, great. Next thing I hear is, my name's Chris, I'm CEO. I was like, oh, this is good. My name's Mike, I'm head of IT. This is amazing. My name is Julie. I'm head of global marketing. Great. I mean, everybody on this call was a decision maker. Like, they're all there. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen today, you know? So I introduced myself, started giving them a live demo over the web of our products, showing them how it all works, the statistics and all that. They're like, and I started these noises in the phone call, like, wow, this is amazing. This is great. This is fantastic. They start asking me all kinds of questions. How does it work? How do we install it? Of course, I had all the answers. And there was so much chemistry on this phone call. It was like a love fest on the phone. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it just feels so right. No resistance. And the call goes by, and an hour goes by. My guy says to me, Ari, this is great. We love it. Look, give this call a couple of weeks, follow up with us, and we'll move this thing forward. I was like, oh, yes, this looks so good. And so I said my goodbyes, took my hand, and I reached for the speakerphone in the middle of the table to hit the off button. As I'm reaching for the off button, by complete accident, I hit the mute button instead. They were right next to each other, and a small click happened, and then Thana hung up the phone. And that split second, a voice inside of me said, Ari, go to the dark side. Be a fly in the wall. Go where no one's ever gone before in the world of sales. So I pulled my thumb back for a couple seconds. They started talking amongst themselves, thinking I had left the call. So I know you know what the answer to this is, but what you expect things like, hey, this is great. Let's move this thing forward. But let me tell you what they said verbatim, word for word. They said this. They said, we're not going to go with him. Keep using him for more information and make sure we shop someplace else cheaper. Knife in heart twist. I was in a state of shock. I finally hit the off button. I looked at the wall and said to myself, what did I do wrong? I was professional. I was competent. I was trust-based. And the first big epiphany hit me, and that was this. So somewhere along the way, it has become socially acceptable not to tell the truth to people who sell, right? And that became the whole wake-up call. I said, this has got to change. I've got to unlock this game because it's so dehumanizing. It's so uncomfortable and should not be happening. That's why I invented my whole unlock the game concept, where the idea is trust first, sale second.
Yeah. And that's why I want people to buy your book, because again, most people who are business owners are highly ADD, and I don't say that lightly. It's the truth. I'll be the first to confess that. But I was, before we started the show, I was sharing how I had been on the morning show in Australia, which is like their big version of like the, you know, yeah, Kelly and I think Ryan or whatever it is. Yeah. And you know, one of the things I was talking about is just how we're like, you know, we're thinking all these thoughts like all the time, right? And 60,000 thoughts a day, 80% are negative, 80% of the thoughts we thought the day before. And we are all over the map. And this book, that one of the main things I love, it's like, even if you read a myth a day, you're going to come out better. Let me ask you, after you had your epiphany, which was preceded by a wall kicking moment, did you follow up with them?
Actually, I ended up quitting my job. And I left the company. And your question, I think, is going to this question, which is, if I knew what I knew now 20 years ago, what would I have changed?
Yeah.
And the answer to that is this, that I never would have had the call. Mm. Because on our first conversation, I would have gotten to the truth of where they were at in their process and what they were thinking. And that's part of my new book coming out next year called The One Call Sale I'm working on right now. Mm. Which is how to compress a sales cycle from multiple steps into one single conversation, so you're not subject to being dehumanizing and being rejected like that again. Yeah.
And it's that subtle art of let's get to the point and decide. There was, right. I was in a situation, a sales situation, and all the audience knows, so I've built 3 award-winning sales teams generating almost $2 billion in sales in 3 separate verticals. And I think at the stage of the game that I'm at, and that's why I love your book, is that I want to start off, can we be honest with each other? Is there chemistry here? Does this make sense, right? And so from that vantage point, and also because no one's going to value your time if you don't value your time.
Right.
And I think that's the other piece. So for another myth that, you know, this fortune is in the follow-up, right? And so many people, we know the statistics, you know, that 80% of sales are made after the fourth follow-up, but 80% of sales people don't follow up four times. What do you want to say about that one?
I would say if you're following up with people in itself, that means you didn't build enough trust with them at hello. The reason for following up is because you didn't build trust with them at the beginning. What I'm trying to say is follow-up doesn't have to happen anymore. If you're chasing ghosts, ghost people who say, I'm interested, give me a call back, spend your day chasing people, pursuing them, you're now below them. You're lowering your authority. They don't want to be pursued. They don't want to be chased. They're looking for someone they can trust. So you have to turn the wheels around a bit and head back and go, ask yourself this question. How did I get here? How come I chasing them right now? Why didn't we get to a yes or no earlier on? And that's the big divide that separates those who are open to evolving and those who get extinct over time.
And, you know, someone might say to that, I love that, some sales cycles might be longer. So when you're talking about a $50 million five-year, you know, deal versus like someone buying a new Toyota Camry, or used cars are a hot commodity right now, or a, like five-year-old Toyota Camry. So what about the person who says, but what about my industry? The sales cycle is 2 years.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm not suggesting a signed contract on one call, but I'm suggesting a commitment on the first call to a scheduled, not follow-up, but to a scheduled next step in the process towards the goal. You see, what happens mostly is we have a first call with somebody, lots of chemistry. We're like, woohoo. And we say, great, well, let's catch up in the next couple of weeks. I'll give you a call then. And they're off the calendar. They go, they fall through the cracks. Now you're chasing them. That's where it all goes bad. And I tell my clients, make sure you have a calendar relationship with your prospects. You're by an appointment only business, like a doctor. Doctors only see you by appointment. They don't chase you. You do the same. Make sure your model is designed so that they respect you enough to schedule a next call with you.
I love that. And I was thinking, the reason I was smiling is because I was thinking, Jerry Maguire, you have me at hello, versus the movie, He's Just Not That Into You.
Right.
Exactly. The movie analogy. I want to ask you in this book.
Sure.
Adorable. Lessons from Toby. So we're both parents. And one of the things that struck me is the profound wisdom of a two-year-old, right? And I once wrote to my my list, I was talking about things I've learned from my daughter in kindergarten. And then you were so generous and you send this book to me and I'm reading, well, plus I'm madly in love with the photo. Like every time I've looked at this photo, my kids are like, why do you keep looking at that book and smiling, mommy? Like, what is up with that? But talk about lessons from Toby.
Sure. So when my son was born, after about a day after he was born, we were told that he had Down syndrome. And at first, we didn't know what that meant through our lives. We realized what a gift we had on our hands. If you know someone who has Down syndrome, you know they're very special people. They're full of love. They have no hidden agenda. They're transparent. They connect. Everything we're trying to become, they have. Like, they're the role models. And he inspired me so much that I wrote this book about him called Lessons from Toby, which really is a lesson every day of the year to remind yourself that your goal is to be in your own truth, be authentic, be centered. Don't play the game others expect you to play. Mm-hmm. So what happens when we get in the sales world, we go to work during the day, we put what we call sales armor on around us. We protect ourselves from the bullets. We're ready for the battle. But he's not doing that. He comes pure. And I said to myself, gosh, why can't we be like that? So he's kind of the role model here. And that's why I wrote the book about him. And he inspires me so much to my clients.
Well, I know you're not expecting me to ask this question, but this is the final question. And before I do, and I want everyone to stay and listen to this question, because none of y'all are expecting me to ask this question, because this just happened in our lives. But everyone needs to go to www.unlockthegame.com. unlockthegame.com. And if you're someone, and my listeners know, I'm not a person who endorses lightly, but I can endorse this. I can endorse these books. One of my godchildren found out that her first baby she's expecting, newly married, has Down syndrome. And on that very same day, her husband, who is an engineer, got laid off from his job. Young couple, faith-filled. But I would love for you, because they're going to get this episode, I would love for you to speak to them right now. What do you want to say to them?
I think you need to embrace the gift that God has given you. Make me tear up here. And realize that you are on a journey that's very special, and that you have to really start to begin to appreciate you were given a gift. And these kids will teach you so much that you wouldn't have known from any other type of child, that'll be special, and you'll always appreciate them. So you're in good hands, and you've been chosen for a reason.
Well, thank you, Ari, for that. And Maria and John, we love you so much. You've got this, you know, and Ari, thank you so much for being here. You truly are a gift, and thank you for your message. And thank you for all of the people you're supporting, because sales is the lifeblood of any business. And without people like yourself who are teaching people how to do it the right way, it's just not going to happen for the majority of companies out there. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Well, all right. Well, thanks, Aria. Thanks everyone for being here. And I would just encourage you to make sure you share this episode with anyone you know who's thinking of starting a business, has a business. It's raw and real entrepreneurship. We get raw and real. So with that, God bless. Go rock your day. And I will see you in a future episode.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.